Good morning. Welcome all of you to our worship live stream this morning on May 31st. It's Pentecost. It's the birthday of the church, the 50th day post-Easter. I'm Barbara Lemmel. I'm the interim pastor at the United Community Church in Morrisville. And I'm joined with Mitchell Hay, who's the pastor at the Essex Center United Methodist Church here in Essex. And we're coming to you, as we always do, from our dining room this morning. And wish blessings on you as we start this worship today.
As Barb said, it is Pentecost. It's the birthday of the church. We're 1990-ish years old, or thereabouts. If the church were a child, we would have a sweet little birthday cake with pink frosting and safe little candles lit, and we'd blow them out with our own breath and hope that our wishes could come true. But the birthday of the church happens this week in a crueler adult world where breath is denied Black men and fire destroys cities. So if we're gathering here on the birthday of the church, we need something stronger than a child's birthday cake with candles and our own fragile breath. We need the breath of the Holy Spirit.
And so hear these words as we begin our worship today. Hear this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, holy fire, holy breath, not raining down destruction fire, but soul kindling fire. Come, Holy Spirit. Isaiah's hot coal, cleansing souls and loosening tongues, unleashing voices to speak unfathomable glories. Come, Holy Spirit, illuminating fire, leading lost ones, comforting scared ones, healing scarred ones, warming fire. Come, Holy Spirit, come Pentecost fire as we gather to worship. Come, Holy Spirit.
We have an opening prayer that comes from Steve Garness Holmes for this Pentecost Sunday, calling us to a new language of love. And I invite you to join together in prayer with me. Holy Spirit, loosen our tongues and teach us new languages of love. Help us convey your grace across the divide of language, of culture and race and identity. Put the breath of love in our lungs, the words of mercy on our tongues, the song of grace on our lips. Help us give voice to blessing that is clear in any language. Give us grace to listen to every foreign tongue, respect every foreign story, and honor every foreign soul, for you have sent us to them, and you have sent them to us, so we may all know our belovedness. They may reveal to us our own. Spirit of God, breathe in us. Spirit of love, sing in us. Spirit of justice, rise in us to do your will. Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture today, as always on Pentecost Sunday, comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter, the first 21 verses, the scene of the Holy Pentecost fire coming down upon a group of very scared disciples, turning them into the church. To celebrate that diversity, we have a video that comes from the New England Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church with clergy and lay folk from a variety of different languages and nationalities and colors and backgrounds. Reading the book of Acts in their own language. I invite you to either open up a Bible to Acts chapter 2, or if you have the bulletin that we sent out by email, you can find that in the bulletin. So I invite...
The words in English are also on the screen. They're part of the video. So if you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen.
So enjoy this reading of Acts chapter 2.
五旬节到了，门徒都聚集在一处。忽然，从天上有响声下来，好像一阵大风吹过，充满了他们所坐的屋子。
Todos ficaram cheios do Espírito Santo e passaram a falar em outras línguas, segundo o Espírito lhe concedia que falassem. Ora, estavam habitando em Jerusalém judeus, homens piedosos, vindos de todas as nações debaixo do céu. Quando, pois, se fez ouvir aquela voz, afluiu a multidão, que se possuiu de perplexidade, porquanto cada um os ouvia falar na sua própria língua.
다 놀라 신기하게 여겨 이르되, 보라, 이 말하는 사람들이 다 갈릴리 사람이 아니냐? 우리가 우리 각 사람이 난 곳 방언으로 듣게 되는 것이 어찌 됨이냐? 우리는 바데인과 메데인과 엘라민과 또 메소포타미아, 유대와 갑파도기아, 본도와 아시아,
Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power.
Apostle Chile or Drupa son, ye were Rupa Blabus his son, or the Blabus his tankoe, they are must say, Keka Daka. Okwe ma wa wri, ke wa sing, green maggie, ke wa chen chen ma bo, ke wa da, demo de a quinye, ke no diebe ni ma wa ye brine, ke wa da. Waso wandi na omo gripo wo anyi gripo banban.
Alors Pierre se présenta avec les onze, éleva la voix et leur parla en ces termes. Hommes juifs, et vous tous qui séjournez à Jérusalem, sachez ceci et prêtez l'oreille à mes paroles. Ces gens ne sont pas livrés comme vous le supposez, car c'est la troisième heure du jour.
A loganitsi, nzozek ka sonka ta noli wika sonkawa. A moka waski dak anakonaknia, aida gitsombak, ta behenemak adotsi, zogina nia gagin hodunia. Ta agamaujik, nik onotsimo wogan, ta megamiknia. De Basque Hodi Ganak Spemki Tagadakina Bagakan Ta Maskweda Ta Awan.
El sol dejará de alumbrar y la luna se pondrá roja como si estuviera bañada en sangre. Esto pasará antes de que llegue el maravilloso día en que juzgaré a este mundo. Pero yo salvaré a todos los que me reconozcan como su Dios.
Today is Pentecost. Happy birthday, church. It's all about wind and breath and fire in Scripture. And the news has been nothing but breath and fire, but not in the Pentecost sense. It doesn't feel like a very happy birthday this year on Pentecost. We have been heartsick all week.
So we're going to confess a clergy truth to you this morning. When we get ready to prepare a sermon on Sunday, what we think about is, what's the word of the Lord for today? And on Pentecost, so often it's kind of a rousing, cheerful, go church. The Holy Spirit's with you. But we've been heartsick all week. And so this may not be so much a sermon as it is just a collection of things we've been thinking about as we try to figure out what it means to celebrate breath and fire in a week when breath and fire have been anything but celebration. Just a week ago today, in fact, I wrote a baccalaureate letter to the graduates of People's Academy in Morrisville. We weren't able to have a baccalaureate service this year, so they asked faith leaders to write letters. And in that letter, I said to them that COVID has taught them, the graduates, but really all of us, one thing very clearly, and that's that we all share the same breath. We all share the same breath. That's why we're wearing masks, right? To keep the viruses in our breath, should we have them, from infecting each other, because we all share the same breath. But even wearing masks, the masks catch the viruses, right? But we still share the same breath. We still share the same life. That was an image that I tried to give them as they move into their graduation time.
And that breath is a theme throughout Scripture. Shared breath is a theme throughout the Bible. In the second chapter of the Bible, in Genesis, it is God's breath, God's wind, God's spirit, ruach, that is breathed into Ha'adam, the human one, that turning a mud sculpture into a nefesh, into a living, breathing being. That's what Hebrew thinking is around what makes a thing alive. It shares breath with God and shares breath with all creation. The amazing prophetic poem of Joel's that Peter reads in the book of Acts is a promise of God's breath, God's ruach, spirit, wind on all people, slave and free, young and old, men and women, all being filled and able to dream dreams and see visions. Jesus breathes peace upon the disciples in John's gospel and promises to send the Holy Spirit. And that is what we see this Sunday. And in our reading, it is Pentecost. It is all about breath and how that comes as a holy kindling fire. It's an incredible theme throughout Scripture. When Peter gives these words to this wildly diverse audience, his words convict them, inspire them, challenge them to catch the fire of God's love, to recognize that we are all interconnected. We all share the same breath.
So in that letter I wrote to the students, to the graduating students, I confessed really for all of us who are older than they are, that whenever we've forgotten that we share the same breath, we've gotten in trouble, right?
So Bad stuff happens.
God's harshest words in the Bible are to people who have forgotten to take care of the poor. They've forgotten that they share breath with the poor, with the widow, with the orphan, with the alien in their land. Jesus gets so angry with the Pharisees, not because they think radically different things about God than he does, but because they've forgotten that the most important thing is that they share breath with everyone, and instead they think the most important thing is following every law of Torah. They've forgotten what they're about. And in our own day, we have forgotten for generations that we share breath with every living thing in this planet. The trees and us literally pass carbon dioxide and oxygen back and forth to each other. We share the same molecules. We share breath with every creature on this planet. And when we've forgotten, because we have so often forgotten, our climate's a mess. We've done that in our forgetting that we share breath. And in our society, when we've forgotten that we share breath with everyone in this country, in this world, but especially in this country, we have set up systems, social systems, that oppress, that deny, that sometimes kill. When we've forgotten that we share breath, we've always gotten in trouble.
Those two crucial images in scripture of breath and fire have been in the news all week, but in the most destructive sense. Breath denied a black man, and fire that consumes cities. In so much of scripture, breath and fire are about an interconnected life, a life sourced in God's grace, in God's inexhaustible love. But in our nation this week, breath and fire are about death and hatred instead. This week, we can hardly breathe because it is so awful. We can hardly breathe because it hurts so much, and yet we must breathe. We don't have the luxury to hold our breaths and wait for this to all go away again.
We can hardly breathe. This is so painful and so awful. When we were at the demonstration in Burlington last night, it was so sad. I could hardly breathe. And yet we have to breathe. We have to breathe for a couple of reasons. First of all, the very first reason we have to breathe is because that breathing in and breathing out is how we calm ourselves. It's how we moderate our emotions. I've spoken about this a couple of weeks in the spiritual practices for uncertain times. It's in breathing in and breathing out that we start to slow down our racing emotions, our racing brain. It's breathing in and breathing out that lets us put on a shelf the image to either fight or fly or fight or flee or freeze. It puts those reactions aside so that instead we can figure out what's going on and we can respond. So first we have to breathe so that we can get centered in who God is and who we're called to be. And then secondly, we have to breathe because our breathing out has to be a speaking out. Not just a breathing in, but also a breathing out. And one way we breathe out well in a time like this is to devote ourselves to learning, to figuring out what it is that's going on. When we see the images on the news of flames, of fire, of angry people, of militarized police, our first response is to react back. Breathing allows us to step back a minute and instead to get curious about what's going on. I think one of the most powerful things we can do right now, we who are white folk who live in Vermont, we are white folk anywhere, is to get curious about what it is to be a person of color in our culture, what it is to be African American in the United States. And we don't have to learn about that for very long before we realize that for folks who are people of color, especially African Americans in the United States, there's not one pandemic going on. There are two pandemics going on. The last 3 or 4 months, it's been about COVID-19. But for 600 years, it's been about slavery and about racial injustice. We need to understand that. Sorry.
We've been speaking throughout this pandemic that the thing we don't want to do is return to normal. because the normal is the injustice, the normal is the twisted society that put us in the situation in the first place. And that's not an option for people of faith. We don't want to go back to what was normal. We don't want to go back to what was normal around our system of healthcare and poverty that made COVID do what it did. But my God, the fires around our nation this week are witness to what we do wrong around race and around poverty and around treating those who don't look like us as less than human beings. The fires around the nation are a witness to what the prophet Joel promised thousands of years ago. We are seeing a new vision in the cry of the protesters. We are seeing new dreams that might fulfill the deferred dreams of people of color. Janet Rondazzo, a former parishioner at Essex United Methodist Church, she's in Maine now, but she wrote this week lamenting that she realizes 29 years since the Rodney King beating. Mm. And she said, haven't we learned anything? No, because we always want to go back to normal. It's 57 years since King's I Have a Dream speech in Washington, D.C. And have we learned anything? No, because we always want to go back to normal. That second pandemic you spoke of is 150 years of Jim Crow. It's 600 years since the cruel invention of race-based slavery and oppression. You can't hear those years of deferred dreams without thinking of Langston Hughes' poem, What Happens to a Dream Deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat? Or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode? And this week, once again, a breath denied has exploded.
This week is so painful that we can hardly breathe, and yet we have to. Mm-hmm. We have to breathe in and out. And again, in the letter that I wrote to the baccalaureate students, the baccalaureate letter that I read wrote to the graduating students, I invited them, in the midst of everything that's going on, to pause, to breathe in and out, and to get rooted again in what it is that makes them fully alive and fully human. And I promised them that all of us who are older than they are, that we too will breathe in and out and get rooted in what it is that gives us life and makes us holy, so that we might partner with them to make a world where people do not forget that we all share the same breath.
We have to breathe in and we have to breathe out. Around issues of race and poverty and systematic oppression, we need to learn and we have to unlearn. We need both. Just like we need to breathe in and out, we need to learn and unlearn our stuff. White folk in this culture need to learn the experience of people of color. But because we've had a lifetime of absorbing a racist and oppressive social narrative, we also have a bunch of ugly junk to unlearn. And that's not easy. It's hard to learn. It's a lot of work. It's hard to hear others' stories. That's a lot of effort. But unlearning is even harder because it's like you're having to cut off a part of your reality. Brené Brown, sociologist, is reading a book called Becoming Anti-Racist. And she wrote in a tweet that Learning is hard. Unlearning is harder. Pretending that most of us don't need to do either when it comes to racism is its own form of violence. One of the signs that we saw at the demonstration last night was "white silence is white violence." And that struck hard.
So we've been wrestling hard with what do we do? What do we offer? How do we start to make some inroads in what is admittedly an enormous issue, an enormous problem, an enormous rewriting of our society, of our very way of being in the world and understanding our relationship with our siblings in Christ. And so we have a couple of suggestions this morning. One is that we'd like to offer an online book study of the novel, The Hate U Give. This is a novel that's ostensibly written for young adults, but I read it a couple of summers ago and it reads very easily for adults as well. I'm not gonna give too much of it away here, except to say that it's written from the perspective of an African-American high school girl. And more than any novel that I think I've ever read, it offers a window into the day-to-day experience of being African-American in the United States. The novel is set in California, I think. And it doesn't sugarcoat anything. It also doesn't make things worse than it is. It's a powerful story, and for me as a white person, it was a powerful experience. And so we'll be sending out information about kind of how and where and when to do this, but look for that. We'll figure out some way to do an online book study that can draw people in from both of our congregations to do that.
We had a small group of folk from our congregation and friends who went to see it at our local high school.
Went to see the movie.
And powerful, but the novel brings, obviously, because it's a novel, will bring a whole lot more depth and opportunities for discussion.
Absolutely.
And yeah, learning and unlearning.
Just watching the movie instead of reading the book, not as good, even though that's a classic high school way to get over not having done your homework. I also want to say for the folks in the Morrisville congregation that Carol Olson, one of our co-moderators, this past year, took a course on white privilege at the Jungian Center in Waterbury. The Hate U Give was one of the books that she read for that course. And so she is she's a resource for us, for other things to read, for how that class changed her perspective. I have her permission to say this to you this morning, but I want to offer her up as someone who's right in our midst that can be helpful for us with that. And did you want to speak about parents in your church?
Well, I was just, I've been so impressed with how our young parents at Essex Church are struggling and how to raise children in a racist culture. And as they're learning and unlearning themselves, they're helping their own children to learn so that they don't have as much to unlearn when they get older. Just had a wonderful photograph that Alyssa put on her Facebook page and we put onto the church Facebook page of her talking with her kids who are itty bitty about racism. And they went out and chalked a Black Lives Matter sign on the sidewalk, on the walkway near their house. Learning and unlearning is a multi-generational task and will be one that we'll be doing, I suspect, for multiple generations into the future. There's one more image from our reading in Acts, the third powerful image of Pentecost, and that is how the people who hear Peter's speech, who come from widely diverse backgrounds, they hear the deep truth of the Spirit in their own tongues, which is a symbol of the unity of Spirit fueled by the fire of God's grace, of God's love. And so people are able to hear it in their own tongue, regardless of their background. I love the list from the book of Acts, all those Parthians and Medes and Cretans and Arabs and Cappadocians and Pamphyliites. We have that same call, is to hear others' realities and to hear the realities of love and God's love in our own language. Our call is to hear the true experience of other people, God's children, especially people of color in this culture, and hear it deeply in our own hearts until it becomes, we absorb it, until it becomes part of our DNA, until it's our experience as well. And that's hard because all of this hurts. I've had echoing in my brain all this week, I can't breathe. That isn't just a tragic biological fact for one Black man with a knee on his neck. It's a desperate plea of all people, especially the poor, especially the marginalized, especially the oppressed, for life renewed and abundant and full. And it's a prayer that, I'm sorry, it's a plea that I pray we more comfortable folk can hear, relate to, and change. When we learn to hear and then to listen, we can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. I can't breathe is a cry that's been in our heads all week. And I've been finding myself either hyper-conscious of my breath or having a hard time breathing at all. We have to go from just listening to really hearing, or from just hearing to really listening, I guess, the voice of another, until we can hear it like the people at Pentecost in our own language. And then truly we begin to share breath with one another.
And as we do this learning and unlearning, we're going to be really bad at it. Mm-hmm. We're going to be really awkward. It's going to challenge us. We're not going to look like we're cool and we have it all together. And I believe that this is God's call to us, to be awkward together as we try to figure out new ways to live and to create a world where all of God's people, all people, know they share the same breath, hear each other's words in their own language, in their own hearts, and work to make this a place where the realm of God is real, not just for a few people, not just off in the future, but here and now. May the pain and the awkwardness bring us to a place where we can again say, "Happy birthday, church," and mean it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Our next song this morning is again from the New England Annual Conference. It's the church choir from Mosaic Bethany, First UMC. And they've put together a choir piece on Zoom, I guess. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we wanted to share that with you this morning. So we'll put that forward, and then after that, we'll move into a time of pastoral prayer. If you have prayer concerns that you'd like to have shared in that prayer, please put them into the comments on Facebook, and we'll include them. Thanks a lot.
Let's say, Our Father.
Our Father, all of heaven roars your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name, sing louder. Let this place
So hear this prayer this morning, which is modified by a piece written by Asata Shakur. It's written in the first person. I invite you to hear this as your own prayer to God. Beloved God, I believe in living. I believe in sunshine, in windmills and waterfalls, tricycles and rocking chairs. And I believe that seeds grow into sprouts and sprouts go into trees. I believe in the magic of the hands and in the wisdom of the eyes. I believe in rain and tears and in the blood of infinity. Beloved God, I believe in life. And I have seen the death parade march through the torso of the earth, sculpting mud bodies in its path. I've seen the destruction of the daylight and seen bloodthirsty maggots prayed to and saluted. I've seen the kind become the blind and the blind become the bind in one easy lesson. I've walked on cut grass. I've eaten crow and blunder bread and breathed the stench of indifference. Beloved God, I have been locked by the lawless, handcuffed by the haters, gagged by the greedy. And if I know anything at all, it's that a wall is just a wall and nothing more at all. It can be broken down. Beloved God, I believe in living. I believe in birth. I believe in the sweat of love and in the fire of truth. And in the certainty of that belief, we lift these prayers to you today. We pray for all those who find this to be a time of loneliness and of being cut off from their communities of faith and from their families. We pray for all of those who are affected by the stain of racism, which would be all of us. We pray for Debbie Iacovone's friend, Trevor. We pray for Warren Miller. We pray for Stacey Willie Jones' niece, Lexi, and also for Stacy herself as she struggles with the anxiety of this time, and for her friend Kyle Buttis, who is healing from cancer surgery this week. We pray for the family of Arlo Duke Sterner and for Mary Cornegay as she recovers from COVID and for Betty Harvey. And we lift to you, enjoy this day, O God, that Neil Fisher is healed from pneumonia, and ask that you continue to bless him and Lil in the days coming forward.
We pray with Dana, prayers of healing for a friend, Lisa, who has been a breast cancer survivor for 7 years and has now been diagnosed with another kind of breast cancer and will be having surgery soon. We pray with Catherine for all who live with Alzheimer's. And in this very confusing, upsetting, disconnected time of non-contact, please bring those loved ones calm and peace. With Joanne, we pray for the Martell family, whose patriarch passed away this morning. Liz prays, loving God, give us the wisdom, strength, and voice to stand for those who have fallen, shout for those who have been and continue to be silenced. Give us ears to truly listen, hearts to love and learn, words to teach so that we may finally be the agents of change.
We also lift to you prayers for Kathy Myler and for Nancy Sturdivant Wolf's friend, Cindy, who passed this week. And in all these prayers, God, we wrap them up in the prayer that Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A couple of announcements as we finish our worship today. The Morrisville folk are joining by Zoom for a virtual coffee hour at 11 o'clock. So take a minute to get a snack or do whatever you need to do and then come to that if you can. The Zoom link is in a Facebook post this morning. Also this week is a week of a variety of activities. The reentry team will have its first meeting on Tuesday evening at 7 to start talking about what are the criteria that we'll need for resuming our ministries and in-person worship at some time in the future. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock will be our live cast of spiritual practices in uncertain times. And then the Spiritual Life Committee will be meeting on Thursday at 6.
Essex has some birthdays this week for John Bilodeau and Hannah Godfrey on the 31st. That's today. And then on June 5th for Joe Marku. And anniversary is on the 31st. That's today for Kevin and Jody Heffernan. Happy anniversary. And for Leif and Alyssa Johnson. We also will be having coffee hour immediately after worship at 11 a.m. And that Zoom address is on the Facebook page. We will be having our Monday night Bible Project study at 7 p.m. on Monday, being Pentecost. We'll be doing the study, session 11, on the Holy Spirit, and that Zoom address is in the newsletter, and the study page is there as well. We'll be having an administrative board meeting this week. We don't have an evening scheduled. We'll see what works best for everybody. On Wednesday afternoon, there is a Zoom Tezé service that folk have begun, and that address is in the newsletter. And again, I'm putting the Wednesday night spiritual practices for uncertain times address so you can enjoy that as well. I think that's all our announcements. It's a lot. I want to send us out with a good word from theologian Marin Tirabassi. This benediction: may your tongue tingle with the good news. May your heart open to all the people of the street. And when you are bent over by sorrow, walking masked in a lonely or dangerous or over busy day, may you find the Spirit's feathers on the ground, waiting there to give you hope. A hope that comes afresh every day from the God who is creator and redeemer and sustainer now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. Thank you all. And thanks in advance to Sean Boer, whose music will close out our service this morning.
Thank you to Jeremy, as always, for making these services possible.
And may you go in peace.
We'll see you all at 11 o'clock at our Zoom coffee hours. Peace. Mm-hmm.